Hey, this is Eli Campbell. You know, Steamboat is renowned worldwide for skiing, biking, and all that our natural playground has to offer. We're fortunate, though, that the natural beauty here attracts more than just outdoor enthusiasts. From local legends to world-class acts, amazing musicians regularly play the venues in our little corner of Northwest Colorado. Join me as I explore the stories and experiences of these talented artists who bring unforgettable performances to Steamboat. This is your Steamboat Soundcheck. Eli Campbell here with you, another installment of our Steamboat Soundcheck podcast featuring the musicians who we are fortunate enough to see here in the Steamboat Springs area. And this morning I am joined by Maggie Rose, who will be playing the Bud Light Rocks the Boat concert series in Steamboat on March 30th. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, Eli. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, well, thanks for joining me. I know that you are busy. I think I just heard you're heading off to the studios here in just a little bit to do some AI Elvis work.
Yeah, I'm on the chapter of the Nashville Board for the Recording Academy, and I'm a chair of the Advocacy Committee, and we've been trying to get this act passed for a while to prevent people from using AI to duplicate people's voices and then release those works, and therefore taking the last vestige of humanity out of music. So we got it passed in Tennessee, and hopefully the rest of the country will follow. We're going to go celebrate.
Very cool. Now, before I get to the show here that you're doing in Steamboat, I read that you got your start by playing in a Bruce Springsteen tribute band. And my mother-in-law is a huge Bruce fan, so she would not let me go without having to ask you a little bit about that. What was that like as a 16-year-old playing in a tribute band for Springsteen?
Well, first of all, they are the hardest working band. I've met a lot of bands now at this point, and I still think that they work so hard playing hundreds of shows a year. And Glenn Stewart, the lead singer of the B Street Band, just sadly passed away. And he was just the best to do it. He looked like Bruce and sounded like him. And he was generous with his stage. You know, he let this teenager invade their space. And that's how I kind of cut my teeth. I left all the Bruce singing to Glenn, and I did a few little Patty parts, but I also had my own set of music that I would put together, and they would back me up, and I'd essentially open for them. And I'd sneak in my original songs, see if the audience reacted. And I think that it made me realize that just a small part of the equation is being a good singer. You have to be a showman and write songs that connect with people. And I don't know that I would have gotten exposed to that so early.
And of course, it probably gave you a great experience of just being on stage and feeling that love of a crowd. So you did what a lot of aspiring musicians do, and you moved to Nashville, which fortunately worked out for you. Now, back then you were performing under the name Margaret Durante. And I went back and I watched some of those old music videos yesterday, and it's a different look, a different feel for you. I'm just wondering, when you go back and look at that, what do you see in the kind of young version of your career?
Yeah, my government name, Margaret Durante. You know, I think I have so much compassion for my earlier music and artistry, but I was sort of thrust into the industry as a 18-year-old moving to Nashville, and was put on the fast track of releasing music and thrown into the music row washing machine of things. So no bad actors, but I think I wish that I had had a developmental period where I got to find my voice and figure out who I wanted to be. And I took an opportunity to reset that for myself. And I went by Maggie Rose, which is, you know, a nickname. Maggie Margaret Rose is my middle name. And decided to reclaim my music and do it with intention. And it's just been a continued evolution since. But no, I like that earlier music. I just think that I was still searching for who I was. I was growing up.
Certainly the old videos kind of scream that early 2000s female country artist, and you've evolved a lot since then. Your sound now is, it's soulful, it's powerful, it's truly beautiful. And you certainly still get a lot of respect in that country world, but that's not the genre necessarily that you are staying in that lane. You're much more than that. Can you talk a little bit about the decision that you made and why you made it to just kind of move into this more powerful type of singer that you've evolved into?
I wish that I could credit, you know, that being my own idea, but it presented itself to me. I think the more comfortable I got on stage, the more I realized my capabilities as a vocalist, and my musical education just got a lot more profound, and I was exposed to older music and made my record, my last record, in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, because of that music being music that I really gravitated towards. But there's also one album that I released in 2018 that I did pretty much completely live. And that was the first time that I had approached recording with, you know, that kind of technique where we weren't comping a vocal together to get like the perfect quote unquote take. It had this urgency and it had, it was animated and so much more emotion because we were just playing music together and kind of felt like we lived and died by each other. Like if this person next to me messed up, we were starting over again. And you had to also give yourself some grace and concede to picking the best take for everyone because there was no isolating. And I think that that exercise, making that record that way, just changed the way I looked at music and performing and the soul that is in music. It wasn't about technicalities. It's about the feeling.
You know, you did that album in that kind of old school fashion, and it's really representative. It has an energetic, almost live performance type of feel. Now you have got a new album coming out April 5th. You've released a couple of the singles, the videos for the title track, No One Gets Out Alive, which is more of a beautiful ballad. You've got Underestimate Me, which kind of has a lot more energy and pop to it. Can you tell me about the new album?
Yeah. So I made this record when I wrote a lot of these songs during the pandemic or shortly after. So the theme of this record is a little bit more introspective. I think before this album, I had more focused on like the collective we when I was writing songs. And this is just more personal. Listened to a ton of Carole King over that time. And I think that kind of seeps through. There's orchestral cinematic arrangements to it. We had the 64-piece orchestra on the title track from Macedonia, which was, I think, a product of the pandemic. We were able to record this huge ensemble playing music on the other side of the country remotely. And I had just an incredible group of people in the band to put this record together. Ben Tanner from Alabama Shakes, he produced my last record in Muscle Shoals as well. This was our second effort together. Bobby Holland, Chad Gamble and Sadler Vaden from the 400 unit, Zach Cockrell from the Shakes on bass, Peter Levin, who plays with Amanda Shires and the Allman Brothers, and two members of my own touring band, and Don Hart, who is an incredible composer. Sorry, Caitlin and Kyle from my band. And Don was capable of putting these arrangements together and notating the music and then conducting this ensemble in Macedonia. So it was just like we swung for the fences and made the record that I think lives up to the title track, which is about going for it.
It's a beautiful, beautiful track, and really excited to see you come in Steamboat. Now, I imagine that you're not going to be traveling with the full ensemble orchestra, but you do have an incredible band that does travel with you. It's billed as Maggie Rose, but you've got some great musicians that play with you. Can you talk a little bit about the band that comes with you?
Yeah, I love my band. They're like family. We have a good culture out on the road, but Caitlin Connor is on keys and she's classically trained, but she's super funky and one of the best musicians out there. Tim Burkhead is on the drums and I've known him forever. His father actually was my husband's drum professor at Ole Miss. So like he's been around this organization for a while. And Kyle Lewis is my band leader. I think he's somehow related to Dwayne Allman. The likeness is uncanny, and he sounds like him too. And Judd Fuller is on bass, and I've known Judd for years. He's just like so solid, really tasty player, and they're great people.
You know, you guys bring a lot of energy whenever you play, and you're playing outdoors March 30th here in Colorado. It's always a tricky time. We hope that it's a sunny spring day, but it could be cloudy and cold. And the energy that you bring certainly isn't going to take away from the festive atmosphere there at the base of the ski area. I think what's interesting for a lot of musicians, though, that come to these performances is you're coming out, you're going to get in front of fans that know you, but you're also going to get a lot of people that are just excited to be seeing some live music on a spring ski day. And so for those types of people that have never heard you before or heard of Maggie Rose, what are they going to see?
Well, we'll make sure to heat it up if it's cold out there. We'll bring a really dynamic show. They're going to hear some new music from the forthcoming album. But we also want to touch on some of the older music and get people dancing and high energy, I would say. But we also are going to take you on a little journey. There will be ebbs and flows and all the emotions. I hope to make you laugh and cry and dance.
If you believe that this is the farthest west that you're traveling for your upcoming tour, at least for now, as far as I can see on your website, it's certainly the highest elevation that you're going to be playing here. So yeah. Hopefully you'll get in with enough time to acclimate and have that high energy. I know we talked about it at the beginning, you've got some big work to go do and to celebrate. So I'm going to give you back your time. I appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning, and really excited to seeing you on the 30th here in Steamboat.
I'm excited to see you. And actually, it's reason for us to celebrate when we do finally get to you guys, because I was talking to my husband before we spoke, and he said that the first show 4 years ago that we had canceled in 2020 was this show. So it's finally happening. I mean, when we had 60 shows canceled overnight, and this was the first one that we were going to miss. So we're making it happen. It took a little time, but we're happy it's arriving now.
I hadn't even thought about that, but the cancellations all took place. It was around March 14th, March 15th, 2020, and we'd gotten just one or two of those free concerts in, and I had forgotten that you were on the bill back then, and I'm sure that was just it was a tough time for everybody, but as you mentioned, you were able to get a little introspective and turn that into some new music for your new album.
We're happy that we're going to finally make this show up. So,
well, thank you very much, and safe travels on your way out to Colorado.
Thanks, Eli. Bye.